All right. Well, good morning again, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and I take it as a privilege every time I have the opportunity to preach the Word of God. It's a special privilege and a special burden, but this is the way that God has intended for His Word to go out, for His flock to be fed. I picture the church the way that Christ pictures the church and the Bible pictures the church, is that we are a flock of sheep, aren't we? We are a flock of sheep. And sheep tend to struggle a little bit sometimes. I know I do. I find myself upside down going, somebody needs to help me flip back over, right? You ever feel that way? Sometimes I feel that way. But God is always so good. He's always so good to give us exactly what we need and when we need it, and we can trust Him in that. This morning, we're going to be in the book of John, chapter number 15 again. I say again, this is where we were a couple weeks ago when I preached, and again two or three weeks before that. And so we've been kind of leapfrogging our way from week to week. And praise the Lord, the preaching has been good. I got to listen to Brother Bobby's message from last week. He was good enough to get that sermon recorded for us, and thank you for doing that. And it's posted on the website. And for anybody that would like to go back and listen to some of those sermons, I know I do occasionally, we'll go back and listen to older sermons, because I realize as I sit out there and listen to preaching, I get something from that message. I tend to get what I would call a nugget, a gold nugget, something that sticks with me and that helps me that week, that's huge in my life and has an impact. But typically, we don't remember sermons. No one remembers sermons. They might remember the title of a sermon, and they might remember just a couple things that stuck out to them and that impacted them. But what I've found as I go back and listen to some of these other sermons and older sermons is I get other things out of that sermon. I get more and more and more. And really, it's because it's the Word of God. Every time we go back to the Word of God, it's like this deep, infinite well that is our supply, that every time we go back, we get more living water and more living water that's helpful to us for that time in our lives. And by that, I mean for that moment, for that day. Christian life is not meant to be lived a year at a time. It's not meant to be lived a month at a time. It's meant to be lived a moment at a time and daily, right? Paul says, I die daily. He doesn't say, I died to my flesh in October and I will try again in November. No, he says, I die daily. The Christian life is meant to be lived daily. And but this morning, we're going to be in John chapter number 15 again. John chapter number 15, because every time I come back to the Word of God, especially this chapter, and especially recently, it seems like the Lord is giving me things, not new, but things I just hadn't noticed before, maybe things that are fresh now. And it's been excellent. It's been excellent for me in my life, and I hope some of this will be helpful to you as well. And so we're going to read the first 16 verses, if you'll bear with me, to the reading of God's Word. God's Word is so much more important, is essential, more important than my words. And so we're going to read the first 16 verses. He says in verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He calls us friends. Amen. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your help now. We need you. We need you to step in. Father, I pray that you'd help me to be yielded to the moving of your Spirit as you desire to speak to your people this morning. I pray that you would feed them. Lord, I pray that you'd feed all of us and give us the spiritual nourishment from your word that we need to get by yet another day, yet another week. Lord, we pray that you would work in such a way that you get the glory, that you would work in such a way that you would be seen as magnificent and mighty and powerful in our lives and loving and kind and good and gracious. Father, help us to glorify you and show you as being as glorious as you truly are. This morning, I pray that you'd help us understand your scripture better. I pray that your Holy Spirit would illuminate it for us and open our eyes to the truths that are here, ready for us, waiting for us. Father, I pray that you'd use these truths to change our lives, change the habits of our lives, the way we live, change the way we think, Father, in our minds, that your mind would be in us, God. Lord, I pray that you would work in your church this morning as only you can, and for your glory. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So we started the first week we were in John chapter number 15 talking about the true vine and what it means to be, as Christ says, I am the true vine, and how all of Scripture points to Christ. And really, the entire creation points to Christ. It's about Him. And as we look at the vine, it's, you know, we see vines out and about. We actually, just yesterday, was looking at one of my tomato plants that has, I say my tomato plant, it's really, I can't even take, there's no possession here. This thing grew up on its own out of, in between a crack in the sidewalk. And I'm not kidding. This thing grew up, I can't get tomato plants to grow in the garden this year, but I've got this one just flourishing over here in the sidewalk. And I left it. It's growing, it's producing fruit, so to speak, it's producing tomatoes, and so I left it. So I can't even say my tomato, it's not mine. In fact, if I'm going to take credit for some, we're going to have to go to my garden and see the ones that are dying, and this year they're not doing well. And so I've left it, but it's flourishing right there, right? But God gives us these things in our world, and I think in some sense, just to help us understand spiritual truths. You see, we can understand the supply that Christ is in our lives, in our Christian lives, better because we can, in some way, understand and wrap our minds around how a tomato plant works, or how a grapevine works, or how a tree works, or what bread is. He gives us all of these illustrations in not just in Scripture, but intentionally in creation to teach us what is real. It's Him, and what's going to be real in eternity. That everything is pointing towards Him, and that even in all of these little things, in some way we're getting a small sense of what eternity is going to be like. And so even in that little tomato plant, or even in an apple, I grabbed this to eat this morning, and then I realized, well, that might be a helpful thing to have during the service, and so I didn't eat it on the way, I held off. But even in an apple, we see God's incredible design, God's incredible handiwork, just right there in that apple. And it teaches us about Him. Even an apple, right, can teach us about Him. And so I think that's what He's saying. When He says, I am the true vine, or He says, I am the true bread, I am the true light, what He's saying here is that there is these things that we experience in physical reality that are just there to give us some kind of glimpse of what the eternal reality of Christ is going to be. He is the true bread. We understand bread. I like bread. I'm a big bread fan. I always say that I grew up on bread because it's more filling. So we ate a lot of bread to fill us up. I can understand that, but it's pointing to him. And he uses it as an illustration of him. Same thing with the well of living water, as Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, right? It was to teach that well is right there, and it's a physical well, and it's physical water, and she's drawing out of it. But in that, he uses it to teach her of him, a spiritual truth, of a eternal reality. And so he says, I am the true vine. We know that means he is the source of all good things. He is the supply for every branch. He is the producer in every Christian life. You see, I can't cut that branch off and expect it to bear fruit. I couldn't cut that tomato plant out from that crack in the sidewalk and throw it out in the backyard and expect it to be fruitful. I can expect it to die because it's been separated from the source of nourishment, from the source that is feeding it, from the source that is truly producing the fruit. And so last time we were together, we talked about mainly out of verse number 5, where he says, where Christ says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. There's nothing that we can do apart from him. Nothing beneficial for eternity. No soul has ever been saved without the moving of the Holy Spirit, without the giving of the Word of God. The Bible says very clearly, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? And so, we can do nothing. This church can do nothing apart from Christ. Now, apart from Christ, we could continue to assemble. Apart from Christ, we could continue to have ministries. Apart from Christ, we could continue to go through the motions of a worship service, but it will not be worship. It will not be effective ministry. It will not be fruitful without the Holy Spirit of God and without us being completely and totally yielded to Him, recognizing our own weakness and the insufficiency, and going to God and saying, God, it's all you. We are here. And like it says in Romans chapter number 12, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. God, we are yours. We recognize that in the blood of Christ, we've been bought at a price and we are not our own. We are presenting to you our bodies as a living sacrifice, which have already been bought by you. We're just giving you what's already yours in submission to your will. Like Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. And what God will do with that will blow you away. It will be incredible. But we hold back the fruitfulness of ministry if it's us. If it's us serving, if it's us trying to produce something for God. And that's why the phrase was brought up last week. God has not called us to produce fruit for Him, for God. He produces fruit in us and through us, like the branch being connected to the vine. The branch can't do squat. Zilch. What was the old phrase that Brother Jack used to say? Zero, not a zip. Zip. We can do zip apart from the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the greatest need of this church, the greatest need of us as individuals, is to walk in the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. Now, the beautiful thing about that is the Spirit is never unreachable. Though the Spirit can be grieved in our lives, though our own hearts get hard at times and calloused and seared like with a hot iron, the Holy Spirit of God is right there. If you are a Christian, I promise you, I assure you, if you are truly born again, if the Spirit of God lives in you, I don't care what you have done or how far you may have strayed at this point in your life, the Holy Spirit of God is right there in you. The Bible says if you'll draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Now, I picture this drawing nigh as me taking just a turn of a step, really, just a turn towards God. And that's me drawing nigh. And then he comes and meets me the 99% of the rest of the way. He's right there. Amen. And so we learned last week that God declares, without me, you can do nothing. We can't do anything apart from him, and nothing that we do apart from him will be fruitful in eternity, will be fruitful or last or produce any fruit that remains, right? We looked at how this is all by God's design. He designed it this way for a purpose because he delights in working this way. He delights in working on our behalf and working in us. God delights in people coming to him in weakness and him providing strength. He delights in that. Even in Ephesians chapter number 6, when he's telling us about the armor of God, young men, we like teaching this in young men's class, you know, put on the armor of God, be strong and of good courage, you know. But even in that, we understand we're being strong in the power of his might. We're not being strong in our own strength or in our own might. We are still going to God as the source and as the supply. We are staying in him, abiding in him, yielded to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. I'm kind of merging a lot of different thoughts and ways of looking at it, but they're all the same, okay? I picture this as the same thing, abiding in him in chapter number 15, same as walking in the Spirit in Galatians chapter number 5 that we read this morning. Those I picture of being the same thing, but looked at in a different way. In this chapter, Jesus is giving us an illustration of a physical vine and a physical branch because it helps us understand spiritual truths. But as in essence, what he's teaching us about and abiding in him is the same as in the other illustration of walking, so to speak, in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Is it a physical walk? No, it's illustrative language, right? It's an illustrative language. It's not a literal, we go out and walk like Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, right? It's a spiritual walk. It's abiding in Christ, like a branch abides in the vine. And so we know God declares we can do nothing. He delights to work on our behalf. He's designed it in this way and so that he gets all the glory. So no man, no woman, none of us can stand up and say, look at what all I did for God. And look at what all I did and how well it all went and all the fruit that was produced for God. That's not the way this works. We can stand up like Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10 and say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Though I labored more abundantly, I labored harder than them all. That's what Paul says. He says, I labored. And that's a pretty strong statement. But I believe it. Paul said it. It's in Scripture. He says, I labored more than everybody. I labored harder than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. He says, yes, I labored. I labored hard. I gave my life for the cause of Christ. Yet not I, but Christ in me. By the grace of God. This is the heart of every fruitful Christian. Every Christian abiding in Christ and bearing fruit says it's all by his grace. It's all by his supply. It's all by his source. We don't take credit. There's only credit due to God for that fruit that's being born. Amen? And so he's designed it that way, and he doesn't, the Bible says he doesn't need us to do it, but he desires to do it in you. God is not deficient like we are deficient. God is not needy like we are needy. Amen? We're the needy ones in this relationship, and we go to God who then supplies all our needs. Amen? Aren't you glad it's not the other way around? That God doesn't come to you and go, I'm lacking, what do you have? Amen. It doesn't work that way. No, God desires that we come to him, recognizing our lack and knowing by faith he can supply. That's what it says. I think that's what it's talking about when Paul says that asking about God to remove the thorn in his side, and God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. This is the way God is designed to work in the hearts and lives of his people. And so it's glorious because it points all the glory to him. That is the point of the Christian life. We are to lift up praise and glory to him. And so this week, as we continue in this chapter, there's a lot more here and a lot that we are going to study with the remaining time that we have. And so we've identified the true vine. So the first thing we're going to do this morning is identify the different aspects of this illustrative language. And so the very first is the true vine. And we know, and we've already talked about it, that that is Christ. This is Jesus speaking. If you have one of your Bibles, if your Bible has the words of Christ in red, you'll notice that that is in red. This is Jesus speaking, saying, I am the true vine. And so we've identified Jesus is the vine. And then he says, my Father is the husbandman. And his Father, as the husbandman, plays a role throughout this chapter. And we see what takes place. And then we see there's another component of this illustration, of this illustrative language. He says, every branch. Okay, so we have branches, right? That's the third component. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. But now we're starting to see that there's a difference, and there's a distinction between two different branches, right? Two different kinds of branches. The one branch is identified as a branch that does not bear fruit, and the other branch is identified as a branch that does bear fruit, okay? So we've got really four different ones identified here. The true vine is Christ, the husbandman is the Father, and then there's branches that bear fruit and branches that don't bear fruit. Who are the branches that don't bear fruit? Now, as we work our way down, it says in verse number 6, it says, if a man abide not in me, and we understand from this chapter that abiding in Christ is what causes us to bear fruit, right? You can't bear fruit if you don't abide in me. And so we understand if we abide in if a man abide not in me, then he is this branch that is cast forth. It says he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You see, there's the branch that does not bear fruit. And the way and the reason we know that that branch is not simply an unproductive Christian life, but rather a lost individual, is because of verse number 6. You see, there's times in our lives where we would say we are not productive for God, so to speak, right? Fruit is not being born in our lives. We're not bearing fruit for Christ. And we know it's not because his lack of supply. It's because of our lack of clinging to the supply and abiding in him and walking in the Spirit, right? It's not him, it's us. But this chapter is not describing two different kinds of Christians, one that bears fruit and the one that doesn't bear fruit. He's saying there's two different kinds of branches. There's two different kinds of people in this world, which we all know that. There are people who are lost, separated from God because of their sin. He has not been acknowledged. They have not put their faith and trust in him and received by grace the gift of the Holy Spirit and salvation. They're lost in darkness. And that is so much of the world. We were talking Wednesday night about sometimes the way people act. And we've just got to remember, lost people act like lost people. We expect more from people. But you've got to remember, lost people act like lost people. And their greatest need is not to act like saved people. It's to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then they will begin to act like who they are in Christ. We don't change somebody by changing laws or behaviors. That person changes because there's a change of the heart. A new heart I will put within you. My Spirit I'll put within you, out of Ezekiel. Jesus says in John 3 to Nicodemus, you must be born again. There must be new life. There must be a change, not of behavior, but of the heart. New life. And so, As we look at this chapter, in verse number 2, we see that there's something going on in the branches that bear fruit. Okay, so we have branches that don't and branches that do. So in the branches that do bear fruit, there's something that the husbandman does for those branches. Who's doing the work? The husbandman is doing this job of purging. Look at verse number 2. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Right? And so there's a couple things that stand out to me here. Number one, the branch is bearing fruit before it's fully purged. So in other words, if you're going to sit back and go, well, I'm not in a good enough place to be useful to the Lord in any way, you're believing a lie, and you're actually displacing the source of who's producing fruit. You're stepping into that role and going, well, I'm not good enough to do that role, and so I'm just going to completely step away. That's wrong. We go to God in our weakness, knowing there's some purging that needs to happen in our hearts. Every one of us. I'm at the top of the list. Paul said it right. He says, I'm the chief of sinners. I put myself at the top of the list of the ones that need purging. I need purging. But there can still be fruit being born. I can still bear fruit. Why? Because it's not me. He's producing the fruit through a heart, a humble, contrite, willing, submissive heart. But he's doing that work, and he can do that work without the branch being fully purged. But what does God want to do? He doesn't just want to bear fruit. He wants to bear much fruit, right? I like that, Brother Carl. Much fruit. One is not enough. God's not in the business of, well, that's like the illustration of the investment, right? He gives one coin, one 5-coin, one 10-coin. The one just went and buried their one coin, and they still had it when he came back. No, he wants it to multiply. He wants your life and your witness and your fruit of the Spirit being born in your life to be multiplied all over the place. If I had this tomato plant growing up, even if it was the one in the crack in the sidewalk, and it only produced one little tomato, and I didn't see any other little yellow flowers, I would have already yanked that thing out of there by now. But it's got tomatoes all over it, and it's got flowers all over it, right? So unless we get a big frost, that thing's going to produce some tomatoes that I'm going to get to eat. So I haven't yanked it out yet. But just one is not what I would want. I mean, this is simple terms, right? I wouldn't want that. But what about you? What about your life? God doesn't want to just bear fruit. He wants to bear much fruit. Amen? So, he's doing the work in our lives, and he's wanting to bear fruit. He wants to bear much fruit, and it takes purging. And purging hurts. This church can use some purging. Individual lives can use some purging. My life can use some purging, and purging hurts. It does. As God, the Father, the husbandman, steps in and starts cutting away the death that we cling to, that's holding us back and keeping us from bearing more fruit. He's going to do that in the lives of the believer. He's going to do that. Remember, we're not talking about two different kinds of Christians here. We're talking about Christians that bear fruit and non-believers, lost people, okay? So when we're talking about bearing fruit, bearing much fruit, the purging work of the husbandman, what we're called to do, chosen to do, and ordained to do, it's talking about the church and individuals. But as I read this, I had to take a step back and go, is Jesus talking to a group, and is he addressing them as a group? Or is he talking to individuals and addressing us in a personal way? So as you read that, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, not them, that it may bring forth more fruit, not them. So he's talking on an individual level. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, saying, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He, not you, but you all, but he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He's addressing a group of people, but in a personal way. And this is the way God still works, right? He addresses, he preaches the word to a group of people, but yet we know it's directed at me. This is for me. It's personal. God's relationship with the bride of Christ, though there is something special and extraordinary about the body, when he is addressing abide in me, saying you as an individual. So when we talk about even collectively as the church abides in the vine and the fruit that could be born for the cause of Christ through you and through this church, it takes the individual and each individual to abide, to submit, to walk in the Spirit. So we know that the husbandman, he's going to purge and it's going to hurt, but how does he do it? How does the Holy Spirit and how does God, the husbandman, purge? Well, it says in verse number 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Does it through the word of God. Daily time in the word of God, preaching on Sunday in the word of God, preaching on Wednesday in the word of God, preaching through the week as you listen to the radio even, preaching on the radio, preaching through, as the word of God is getting into your life and all of the different ways that that happens. God is cleaning, God is purging, God is pruning, so to speak. He's using the word. It's a sanctifying word. It's a sanctifying process of purging. The Bible says in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's the word of God that's doing this work of purging and pruning and cleansing and cleaning us up, like it says in verse number 3. And so we see branches that bear fruit. We see branches that do not bear fruit. Look down at verse number 7. We know that we've been cleansed, we've been purged through the word that it was spoken unto you in verse number 3. And then we get down to verse number 7, and we've just talked about how the branches that did not bear fruit are cast into the fire and they're burned. And verse number 7 says, if ye abide in me, so again, always bringing it back to abiding, dwelling in him, walking in the Spirit. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. I love that. That phrase, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, it's very similar to what we see in verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Again, we're asking and we're receiving. Again, we're reaffirming, we're the requester and the receiver and he's the giver. We are the beneficiaries, he is the benefactor. Even in this, we're asking God what ye will and it shall be done unto you. And then verse number 16, the same way, ye shall ask of the Father in my name and he will give it you. We're asking. What is the responsibility of the Christian? Ask every day. Ask every day for the supply. Do you ever feel weak like I do? You ever feel weak? I assure you, at least the reason for me in my life, is because I have neglected the nourishment of the Word of God. I have neglected abiding, communing in Him. I've neglected Him. I've distanced myself in some way from the source of strength. And then I find myself feeling weak, and let's keep following this down. Does that mindset draw us to God, or does that mindset at times push us further away from God? It should draw us in tight. But our pride at times drives us further away. If the thought in any way is, I've got to get good enough to then approach God, the Christian life doesn't work. We approach God and He makes us good in Him. I'm not being nearly fruitful enough for God. I got to get to work on that before I can go. No, approach God. He will then make you fruitful. This is why I said earlier, at times we feel distant from Him, or we feel like we've grieved the Holy Spirit. And that's probably the case. It doesn't mean that we're so far that He's not right there, ready as we ask of Him. God, I need You. I need Your help. I need Your supply. I need Your love. I just need You to comfort. Let me know it's going to be okay. And then strengthen me for the task at hand. He is faithful to do that. What's the purpose, though? What is the purpose of all of this? I mean, the Scripture is rich with abiding in Him, and we know that is the means of any producing that happens, right? That's what we drove home last week, or 2 weeks ago, that it's our abiding in Him. Him is the source that then produces the fruit. We don't produce fruit for God. He produces fruit, and we bear that in Him. He's doing this work in us, right? But we know He wants us to bear fruit. Is that the whole message of John chapter number 15? Is that the final? I like to like pull on that string until I get to the very end of it. You guys ever have that on a piece of clothes where there's a string and you think you just pull it right off there, but then it just keeps getting longer and it just keeps getting longer and longer and longer? At some point, you got to wise up and cut it, right? I've learned that. I know. Everybody's looking at me like, don't you know you've got to... Anyway, you got to cut it off. But you keep pulling on that thread to see where it goes and how long it's going to get. I picture that's the way it is with Scripture sometimes as I study. I just want to keep pulling on the thread and see where it goes. Where's this going? Where's it all going? What's the ultimate goal? What's the purpose of this, right? As we get down to verse number 8, I think we start to see it. I think we really do see it. This abiding in Him and bearing fruit leads to verse number 8. It says, herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be My disciples. He wants disciples that are bearing fruit in Him, and He's glorified in that. He is seen as most glorious in that. The whole point of our lives, it's been said that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is our purpose. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. The point of the Christian life is to make God look as glorious as He is, or at least a little more glorious as He truly is. We tend to fall short of that, don't we? Do our lives fully show the world how glorious God is? No, not all the time, and not to the extent that it should. But that should be our driving force, our motivation. You keep pulling on the string, that's where it's leading in all of this. The end-all be-all is not bear fruit. The end-all be-all for the Christian isn't even just abide in Him. It's in abiding in Him and in bearing fruit, God is glorified. God is made glorious. He is glorious, or seen as glorious. Remember that phrase, chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Is God glorified in a church? Just imagine this is even possible, because it's not. Imagine a church that is working hard and trying to be fruitful, and in some ways they're seeing some results of that. Maybe they've grown the church and the numbers increase. Maybe they've grown the church and the budget's increased and they can do so much more for God, so to speak. And they're seeing people coming in off the streets. They've got ministries that are reaching out a little further. And they're doing all of this, but they're not enjoying it. They're doing it because they have to. They're doing it because they're trying to meet a certain level of duty in the Christian life. And they're doing pretty good at that, but they're not really enjoying it. The reason I say imagine this, because it's not a real situation. There is no fruit being born without it being born from a joyful branch. Period. Look at verse number 11. He says, these things have I spoken unto you. And it uses the word that. And this helps me understand. When I see that word, I insert the word so. Okay? So insert the word so right before that. so that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So Jesus is telling him, abide in me as a branch. You can't bear fruit by yourself. You have to abide in me. Branches that don't bear fruit, they're cast into the fire and they're burned. They're rejected. They're cast away. And I'm saying all of these things so that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. Remember, I like keep pulling on that thread. This is where that thread is leading us. He is giving us this instruction. He's urging us to abide in Him so that our joy is full and His joy remains in us and abides. Man, God is not looking for people to serve Him out of duty and look back on it at the end of the day and look at what all I've done. God is looking for a people that will acknowledge before Him, I can do nothing without you. Go to Him every day and abide in Him and His strength and feed off of that strength and nourishment. Be bearers of fruit in the world and then turn to God and say, thank you. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, fruit is being born. And I couldn't imagine doing anything else with my life that would bring me any more joy, any more pleasure or satisfaction than that right there. Everything else in the world that the world has to offer falls short. It promises a lot. The world promises a whole lot of pleasure and happiness, but apart from abiding in Christ and glorifying God in it and being or bearing fruit, there is no joy outside of that. But there is deep and abiding joy in that life. Walk in the Spirit. If you find yourself this morning distanced from God, you feel like He's distant, He's right there. If you're saved this morning, and if you're lost this morning, He's right there ready to save. If you feel like God is drawing on your heart this morning to receive Him, don't push Him away. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word this morning. It's so good. Lord, it was good for me first. Lord, I pray that You would work this into our hearts, that we would just acknowledge who we are before You and rely on You to be our source and our strength every single day. Lord, I pray that You would make us as individuals fruitful for You, that we would bear fruit in the Spirit. But God, as a church, I pray that You would cause us collectively, corporately, to be fruitful, to bear fruit in the Spirit as this church walks in the Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would direct and guide, Lord, as we walk in Your will. Lord, I pray that You'd help us just to take one step of obedience after another, yielded in joyful submission. Lord, I pray that You'd work this into the hearts of Your flock, Your people, into my heart. And I pray that You'd do it for Your honor and Your glory. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.